Gracious God, we are here to learn and to share. We are here to find in our hearts greater meaning and greater purpose. May the words that are shared, the music that is given, the offerings that we give, and all that we do in fellowship one with another bring us closer to you and make us be better neighbors one to the other. Amen. Now, I want to clear up a burning question that I'm sure you have after today's scripture readings. First of all, it talks about Priscilla and Aquila, who were two early Christian followers of Jesus. And then we switch to Paul's letter to the Romans, and it talks about Prisca and Aquila. I know that you're wondering, are those the same people? Well, they are. What we don't really usually know is that in Greek, Priscilla is a nickname. The root word is Prisca. So Prisca was Priscilla in formal text. You could take that home and put that in your store of facts that probably doesn't mean much of anything, except now you know. History and culture often hinge on the stories of famous couples and dynamic duos. You know what I'm talking about, power couples and romantic synergies. Everyone from the original first family, Adam and Eve, to today's superstars, Beyonce and Jay-Z, plus all those in between, Rome's Antony and Cleopatra, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Crime's Bonnie and Clyde, Sesame Street's Kermit and Miss Piggy, pop music's Gwen Stefani, and country music's Blake Shelton, and unfortunately everyone but the Siegenthalers missed, Siegenthalers Haystacks, excuse me, that dynamic couple. They missed, you all missed the command performance of yours truly and Karen Wheeler performing a Charlie Brown and Lucy skit at the UCC's Michigan Conference meeting on Friday night. Oh, thank you, Kathy. That was history. For those unaware of it, Kim. But there might be a now that we have stage GR in our church, maybe there'll be repeat performances. Okay. In our Bible, Chris, reading our scripture, spoke about Priscilla and Aquila. It's amazing what this lesser-known couple represent. Their story in the Bible is really only a side to the work of the great apostle Paul, but they did stand side by side him in the early church. And those two biblical leaders promised liberation from stereotypical ethnic and gender-based or legal and cultural bigotry. In the name of Christ, Paul even wrote, they risked their necks for him. So what was special about these two people? If we piece together their story, there's a lot to learn. For example, the news of today's ethnic intimidation isn't anything new. Priscilla and Aquila suffered plenty of it. History notes that the Roman Emperor Claudius was the one who expelled all the Jews from Rome in about 49 in the Christian era. Acts 18 says that Priscilla and Aquila were among those Jewish Christians. And it didn't happen that some friendly Roman soldier kindly knocked on their door and said, "You've won the emperor's sweepstakes. We've secured a luxurious villa for you in Corinth for life." But we do know what a pogrom is. It is an organized deportation or genocide of a group. In fact, Emperor Claudius once wrote this, and this has been preserved in his letter to the Alexandria. He wrote, "By all means, take vengeance on them as fomenters of what is a general plague inflicting the whole world." Whoa, so much for Judaism, so much for religious freedom. Rome was at the center of a culture that intentionally kept people hungry and in need. Unless one was born into the aristocracy or with great wealth, there was no respect for life. At least 95% of the population were serfs or peasants or slaves or immigrant laborers. The system was thoroughly feudalistic. People were simply commodities that the rich and powerful could use for their gain, and Priscilla and Aquila were part of that social order. Though they were skilled at leather work, they worked with their hands, and so they were considered dirty and undignified, and there was no chance of them rising above their caste. Even so, Priscilla and Aquila were not going to be victims. They would have said amen to what Paul wrote in Philippians, "I've learned the secrets of being well-fed and hungry, of having plenty and being in need, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Trusting in God, they would go to the city of Corinth. There they resettled and practiced their trade as leather workers, making tents, even, would you believe it, for legions of Roman soldiers. But more importantly, their faith made them well. The good news of Jesus Christ had taught them that God was filled with care and compassion and affirmation and love for all people. God is not just the God to the rich. God is not beholden to the powers of the empire. God's whole creation is to be cherished. In fact, it can be said that God is most of all concerned with the sick, the poor, and the enslaved who have been marginalized by unjust societies. In the spirit of Christ, a faith community can personify his love and share its purpose. Priscilla and Aquila helped create such a community in Corinth. It was a church that could conceive of the value of all people, and it would be a church that opened its doors to welcome the refugees. It would be a church that opened its doors to welcome the refugees. It was a church that was still learning. But it was one that was coming to believe what Paul was teaching them, that without love, nothing we do matters much. The Spirit of God in Christ, that Spirit of God in Christ empowers people still. Our prayers are not usually answered with a rescue. But the Spirit of God in Christ, and with loving relationships, God still sees us through. The still small voice in the middle of the night says, "I will not leave you desolate." And the reassurance of that comes in the morning with the dawning light, in a glimpse of God in Christ, in those people whose eyes light up when they see us, and in those whose heartfelt care we are affirmed. The world may not know, but we can always receive the graceful truth in the experience of loving care and be lifted up. Corinth was a refuge for Priscilla and Aquila. But then they went to Ephesus, Perhaps the church there needed their skills at human relations more than tent making. In the midst of that, there is a lot more to the story. First of all, they became mentors to a man named Apollos, who had come to Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been Jewish, but had recently become Christian. He was eloquent, says Acts, but he needed to know more of the story of Jesus, so he became a student of Priscilla's and Aquila's, and Priscilla took the lead. Did you understand that? Priscilla took the lead. In Acts, her name was written first in that episode, as in Priscilla and Aquila. And that had a clear intention. It was well understood back in that time that a shorthand way of saying whoever was the lead in a partnership or couple was named first in writing, as in Priscilla, then Aquila. She was an acknowledged leader of the church. Despite the male-oriented culture, this woman was special. Her teachings, her understandings, her convictions were honored. And in writing Acts, Luke, the author, wanted the world to remember and to know that too. Luke also wrote that Paul struggled with the idea of liberated women. But Priscilla and Aquila did something to show him what could and should be different in society. Even now, we know this to be true, that women and men like Priscilla and Aquila are still needed. You and I, like them, are still needed in overcoming and transforming millennium's worth of bias. One more shot at Priscilla and Aquila. They would have known that Ephesus was the home to the temple of the Greek pagan goddess Artemis. Pilgrims from all around the region came to worship at her popular sanctuary there. However, Paul was determined to speak to the crowds about Jesus Christ instead. And his efforts succeeded. People were believing what he said, so much so that the artisans, the silversmiths of Ephesus, whose livelihood depended on selling statues of Artemis, were losing profits. They protested. And Paul, of course, that timid man that he was, egged them on. There were riots. Paul and other evangelists were close to being tarred and feathered until the Roman proconsul intervened. I ask myself, could Priscilla and Aquila also have helped diffuse the situation? It certainly could have been those artisans from the tent-making leatherworks guild who supplied tents to the Roman proconsul's garrison who intervened, Priscilla and Aquila. What if Paul wrote that they risked their necks for him because they stuck their necks out on his behalf and asked the proconsul to calm those crowds down? This is true for certain. The time after time in the early church, young Christians did that. They stepped up with courage to love God and to love one another, to love the least and even the enemy. The church at her best has always had the courage of its convictions, making that courage acts of faithfulness, doing what is required, and far more in the struggles for justice and for mercy. One of the great theologians in the World War II era was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote about the same conviction of courage of beliefs as the cost of discipleship. His work is a compassionate challenge calling on the Christian community to understand that following Christ requires sacrifice in the pursuit of justice. Like Bonhoeffer's own opposition to Nazism that would cost him his life, he confronted comfortable Christianity with prophetic words such as, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Unquote. Faith requires faithfulness. Faithfulness is faith in action. It is the work of moral courage even when there is a cross and a cost to bear. Priscilla and Aquila affirmed that again. In 64 in the Christian era, they were back in Rome along with Paul when the Emperor Nero began his purge, his pogrom of Christians, and they all perished as martyrs. Yet their story lives on. Something transformative can happen in the realization that outward circumstances do not have to control one's inward character. Even in the midst of the most challenging situations, there is a spiritual capacity to stay true to the best that is in oneself. The Spirit of God in Christ, dear friends, empowers that. A spirit like that which captivated Priscilla and Aquila and led them into the Christian faith. It is that same faith, that same spirit that nurtures a church to provide an extravagant welcome and an inclusive community for all. It is a faithfulness that values all people and sees and honors and recognizes and uses their gift, as diverse as they may be, for the greater good. And it is a faith and faithfulness that even calls people to walk the talk and be courageous about it. Amen.